What was your overall reaction to counsel's decision at the special counsel meeting Monday night?
My overall impression was somewhat satisfaction, somewhat frustrated. I do believe we're listening. I think counsel has spent a lot of time, as has staff, to understand the situation and understand within the parameters of our mandate to take a small increment forward to support folks who are unhoused, unsheltered in Coburg. Frustrated because the questions, where do folks go? What do we do? Who responds, are still unanswered. Frustrated because I know that folks are still unhoused every night in our community. Frustrated that we can't seem to find a solution for this. But I'm also hopeful that we have publicly made a commitment to moving forward. And I hope that the community can see the compassion and the overall, what I like to believe are the good intentions of council and staff and our community to work with all levels of government and community stakeholders to fully address the crisis that our community is facing.
You seconded the motion to maintain the status quo with some minor adjustments. Why did you do that rather than push for the second option that would have allowed encampments?
Good question. I second the motion, A, to get it on the floor so that we could discuss it, as you need the seconder at a regular council meeting to discuss a motion. I also second it because I genuinely appreciate the amount of time and thought that went into the staff report. You know, staff had a very short time frame to do some research and consultation and turn this around. The one reason why I paused on option two was based on my understanding of the information and the listening that I've done is the costs and the liability around option two. Trust me, neither outcome was the ideal scenario. But as a counselor, you know, we have a fiscal responsibility. We have a safety responsibility, but we also have a compassionate and empathetic and a human right responsibility to caring for folks. And I personally believe the outcome of last night didn't fully address that. But I really hope it reinforced our commitment. You know, this just isn't a one meeting topic. I think staff and council and the community have brought us closer to a level of accountability and hopefully a step closer to working with the county and the province to start really putting solutions in place.
The Coburg Taxpayers Association did some math. They took the numbers that were in the report and then extended them, claiming that it would have been north of $1 million was what they said over the next couple of months, which represents about 4.5% increase in the levy next year, because of course there was no money in the budget. Is that an unreasonable thing to ask people to pay for in this situation?
Mm-hmm. The cost of supporting people. Let me take a step back. The conversations I've been having, and I think the way that I look at this is, what is if costs are going to be invested, if budget's going to be reinvested, should we be looking at short-term, I don't like the word band-aid, but stopgap solutions, or should we be looking at the investment in long-term, sustainable, safe, humane accommodation, transitional units, you know, addressing the housing need, the housing stock that our community needs. I also hear citizens and understand that, you know, this division of mandate, you know, who's responsible for responding, who's responsible for funding this. And that's one of the things I'm hoping that we can advocate at the regional and provincial levels of government, is the adequate funding to respond.
And people presented to council Monday night giving reasons why they felt allowing encampments would help homeless people right now. Did you feel you let them down?
Rob, I feel like when we make decisions on any topic, we're always leaving someone out and disappointing a part of our population. And that's in my own opinion. I think leadership is letting people down. My heart broke last week. My heart broke last night. And I know it won't be the last time my heart breaks on this, if I can be human and vulnerable for a moment. I don't think a lot of folks, because people are still unsheltered, regardless of their situation and how they came to be. I let myself down, but at the same time, I was really proud of taking a compassionate stand and trying to move the advocacy and an approach forward. As you can tell, I'm struggling to answer your question. I'm torn because I do think we let people down. I know I let people down, but at the same time, I also hope that people can hear the compassion and the passion in this council to try, to really try and address this. I, as you can tell, I'm having a hard time answering that question.
Some critics may argue the town merely passed the buck to the county. Is that a fair comment?
I think I don't know if it's passing the buck, because I've heard the other side of the comment of why does this fall to a member municipality? As all the reports state, this should be a coordinated. I'm a fundamental believer that this should be a coordinated approach of all levels of government and all levels of community to care and support one another. I'm tired of feeling like we're just passing the buck back and forth. And I really hope that these kind of conversations and decisions start bringing us into the middle, meeting the mandates in the middle. I want us to stop talking about who's passing the buck and us starting to take the point of view of how can we work together? Because we're not going to move any further if we continue to point fingers. I really want to try and approach this through a lens of coordinated support. How do we work together? How does the mandate of social services align with the mandate of a council who, is trying to balance their priorities while also trying to prioritize, in my opinion, the health and safety of our folks?
The town's effort to lobby county officials to go after the Brookside buildings as a possible site for an emergency shelter drew a lot of debate. In fact, the deputy mayor voted against it. Why do you think Brookside is a viable solution?
Sure. Thanks for the question, Rob. I just want to clarify a term in your question. I think it's very clear that the comments last night and the motion, it talks about Brookside as a site for housing, using a part of the property if deemed viable, feasible, to address mixed-use rental and long-term housing per the housing strategy. You know, the type of housing we need to build to address this 10-year wait list with the by name list. I believe it's something about 1,100 people on this list and only, I think under 100, I'd have to validate that, are housed. So nowhere in the motion or the discussion last night was it an emergency shelter at Brookside, but using a partial, a small portion of the land for housing needs. And I also mentioned last night, and I'll reiterate right now, is that I really appreciate and aware that Brookside can be used for multiple purposes and it has to go through its due process. But we've heard through various consultations, both from David Pacini and our own community interest, that a mixed land use in Brookside should also include a housing, a community housing component.
So, okay, before we go on then, I want to be absolutely clear, and I'm grateful for your clarification. That helps me a great deal do my job. So you're talking about, I want to be clear about this, you're talking about housing, affordable housing and on a range. We're not talking about specifically an emergency shelter. Am I correct in that?
Correct. As it was presented in the motion, as per my comments and as the author of the motion, it's looking at a small portion, not all of Brookside, a small portion of the site that could be either refurbished, repurposed, or rebuilt for housing needs.
All right. So I'm clear on that now. Thank you very much. However, last night we were talking about dealing with homeless people. So it's easy to see how that logic follows because we were talking about homeless people. How is this then even remotely helpful to the people who are now facing homelessness and who need indoor shelter?
For sure. That's a very good point. Yes, last night we were talking about folks who are unhoused and unsheltered. I am not an expert on this subject, but my understanding in my work in this space and trying to facilitate or be involved in this space is, you know, there's the stories of seniors who are living in their cars, moms calling me who are showering at public facilities and then picking their kids up from friends' houses, and they're homeless because of a lack of rental opportunities or housing supply. So I think for us to talk about folks who are unsheltered and our housing crisis, yes, two separate issues, but they're also interconnected. And I felt that last night, if we're talking about a housing crisis, which is a reason for an increase in folks who are unhoused, it's an opportunity to continue to push the conversation forward about Brookside. But Rob, to answer your question about immediate physical indoor shelter, that is one of the things that I hope to raise, or I intend to raise, through our delegation to County Council. Why does the warming room close on March 31st? Is there a system change in the cost of funding motels? Could we be funding more long-term integrated wraparound transitional housing? These are some of the questions publicly that I want to ask of County Council. Who opens the warming room, who pays for it, and then who's going to run it? So we do have coordinated models, but you know, we have to ask those questions about resources and responsibility.
So if I'm understanding all of this, then what you're really saying to me is that you're trying to expedite the Brookside site for affordable housing. Am I understanding that?
A small portion, correct. Okay. I'm not the only one that has brought up Brookside. You know, it's this elephant in our community. As I also stated last night, the town is going through its own municipal land inventory review for opportunities. So I feel that the municipality is addressing our opportunities. The county, you know, I applaud them for the land that they've been purchasing, not only in Cobourg, but in Campbellford and across the county. So I feel the municipality is looking at its resources, the county's looking at its land purchases. And Brookside has been presented to this community. So the reason I was pushing for that part of the motion last night was it's been 6 months since it was presented to the community. And I feel that we have a responsibility to continue to explore this as a potential option.
As I said, you're trying to expedite it. Yes, no.
If a motion is expediting it, yes. But I'm not naive to think that, you know, it's a very layered process. There's community consultation, there's Infrastructure Ontario.
So then when the deputy mayor raises concerns about, you know, the Brookside, she seemed to say, you know, like, let's just keep on the track that we're going. Why is it so important then that we expedite this? I mean, the process, the machine's already going. So why now? Like you've said 6 months, well, you know, governments move slowly. Why did she get the response that she got from you?
Yeah, I mean, I can't comment for the deputy mayor, but my comments, I personally feel that we are not having an expedited conversation on Brookside. Government moves slowly. I have very few tools in my toolbox as a counselor to try to move certain items forward. And as I mentioned last night, you know, I'm hoping that this is an opportunity that connects all three tiers of government. I do believe that we all have a responsibility to work together in response to this.
But also she also raised, though, concerns about the delegation going off to county council. And she said, you know, she reminded everybody that the mayor sits on county council. The mayor is chair of the social services committee, which is responsible for all of this. Why is it so important that you and others go to county council and make a delegation?
Yeah, good point. I believe in continuity, so I'm just going to again reinforce what I said last night. I think there's a few things. Our council has asked community delegations to go to county council. And as I mentioned last night, I think it's very important that we show up and stand shoulder to shoulder with our community members. Mayor Henderson has been very responsive to my questions in the past. I've gone to tables. I've asked county of questions. I don't feel that Coburg is getting the answers it needs. I also think that we have an expectation to play a role in this. I respect the mandate of regional government and our mandate as a municipal lower-tiered government. And I believe that this council hasn't advocated loudly enough. Is a delegation the most powerful mechanism? Maybe not. But again, Rob, when you only have so many tools in your toolbox, I just felt that it was time for county council to hear from one of its member municipalities who is feeling the pressure and seeing the pressure to respond.
But it sounds to me, in a left-handed way, you're giving me a critique of the mayor's performance at county.
No, I'm not. I did not say that. In fact, I said that Mayor Henderson has always been very responsive to me. I recognize his role as a coordinator of social services. In no way have I ever criticized Mayor Henderson's role as county councillor.
Some might say you're politicking because it's an election year. How would you respond to those people?
I think that that's frustrating. I don't think I'm politicking on this. Election, no election, council or no council. I would be advocating for this. If a councillor who's trying to advocate on behalf of their community and the most vulnerable is politicking, if anything, I wish we all took the politics of helping people out of this and really focused on humane solutions. So come at me, criticize me. But you know, to call it politicking, fine. But I'm doing my best intention to help in the very limited way that I know how. And I ask people who are criticizing and calling this politicking, please call me, please email me. I am so open to ideas and feedback and solutions. But if we're going to criticize, we need to make sure that we're bringing an innovative idea or solution forward as well. Because if we all used our voices and our energy to move this forward, our community at all levels would just, we would be in such a better place. So come at me, but you better be bringing a solution with that.
Nicole Beattie, thank you so much for talking to me today.
You're welcome.